It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to support our independent voice, keeping freedom of speech alive in the United States of America. I greatly appreciate you. And another way that this show is on the air is I have some great sponsors and partners. And in studio with me is one of those, and that is Helen Jean Mitchell. Helen, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you.
And it's great to have you here. We're going to be talking about taxation, Arthur Laffer's five pillars of economic prosperity in segments 3 and 4. It's going to be great.
Yes, this is one of my favorite times in economic history with President Reagan and Arthur Laffer as his economic advisor.
So that's going to be a great conversation.
It's a great time for everybody who wanted to, you know, create wealth.
Well, and Trump actually did a lot of the things in that as well. And we were seeing this great prosperity. And now, Helen, as I'm looking at the headlines, it looks like consumer goods are getting more expensive, inflation, and it's because of policy.
Right. It's the I believe it's the transportation cost.
That's a big one. And, of course, we've got this big transportation bill that Patty Kergan is going to be on the show on Thursday. We'll be talking about that. So, thank you to each and every one of you for joining us. And I greatly appreciate you. You have a purpose today. Live with intention, strive for excellence, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And happy Monday to you, producer Steve.
Okay. Now, you both have said it. Happy Monday. I guess it's because I have too much weekend in my weekend, but I start the morning in the hole. Okay. Monday. Yes, it is Monday.
Yeah. You're here, and we have work to do, producer Steve. And a lot's going on out there. We are doing something new and creative. From time to time, we've done our salon series. We hope to get that on a regular basis. And we are doing a webinar, a virtual salon series on May 20th. And the tickets are $5 plus a $1 processing fee. And we will have those available, we hope, on Wednesday for purchase. And Ramey Johnson, city councilwoman out in Lakewood, approached me. She said, Kim, I think we need to have a candid conversation about COVID. So hence, we're having candid COVID conversations. And that's going to be on May 20th, 6 to 8 p.m. And the panelists that we have set up are really amazing. Ramey and I will be the facilitators. And then Dr. Jill Vecchio will be talking about the medical component, the symptoms, and the vaccine and treatments. And then Matt Durkin, who was with the DA office in Jefferson County, he ran for Jefferson County DA. Unfortunately, a Soros-backed DA won out there, which is not good for community safety. But Matt Durkin will be talking about crime and what COVID has done regarding crime statistics. Priscilla Ron, and she is a teacher and former principal, as well as she is the new vice chair of the state GOP. And she is an expert on education. We'll be talking about education on that. And then Sue Kinfield, who she's just an expert on resiliency and mental well-being, and she'll be talking about our mental well-being. So it's going to be a great event, Steve.
Well, you certainly have stacked the deck in a good way regarding those particular women who will be attending, and the topic itself is just...
And Matt. Matt's a guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed Matt. I was watching things here.
Unless he was identifying as a woman.
No. Wait a minute.
Okay.
You're taking us in the wrong direction.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, let's not go there.
So that's going to be a great event. Tickets should be available for sale this Wednesday, and that event is on May 20th. We'd love to have you join us. And we're all going to be in the same spot. This is not like a Zoom meeting. This is going to be a real Salon Series webinar. It's going to be pretty darn cool, Helen Mitchell.
Sounds like it's going to be an entertaining time for everybody.
It should be, for sure. Let's see, a couple of things. We've got a big week planned today, or this week. Tomorrow will be Roger Hayes, and he is the president of Premier Employer Services. We'll be talking about what's going on at the State House and how that is affecting business. And then Greg Lopez, who's running for governor,
is
going to be on Wednesday.
Everybody should get his hat. I've got one.
You've got one?
You bet.
I have one, too. So he'll be on Wednesday. Patty will be on Thursday, as well as Dr. Jill Vecchio. And then Alan Thomas is going to be on Friday. So a great week planned for you today. And let's jump over here. In honor of Helen Jean Mitchell being in studio, one of her favorite guys, I would say, is John Locke. And I think he was just a couple of years ahead of Steve in school. He was born in 1632 and died in 1704. He's shaking his head.
I'm just not going to honor that with their, you know, they're just, you're playing with fire. That's all I can say.
On a Monday morning.
Okay. John Locke, born in 1632, died in 1704, was an English philosopher and physician, widely regarded as one of the most influential of Enlightenment thinkers and commonly known as the father of liberalism. Not 2021 liberalism, but classic liberalism. He's considered one of the first of the British empiricists, following the tradition of Sir Francis Bacon. Locke is equally important to social contract theory. His work greatly affected the development of epistemology and political philosophy, and his writings influenced Voltaire and Rousseau and many Scottish Enlightenment thinkers, as well as the American revolutionaries. His contributions to classical republicanism and liberal theory are reflected in the United States Declaration of Independence. Helen, quite a guy.
Yep. He's also the one who said that you have a right to defend your life in the pursuit of keeping the human race going. And that's why he's my favorite guy. I thought about him when I had a serious illness, and I thought, yep, John Locke.
And you were an advocate for yourself.
Yes, you have to be an advocate for yourself. You have a right to defend yourself and your life.
Absolutely. So this is a quote for today, Helen. And he said, "It is one thing to persuade, another to command. One thing to press with arguments, another with penalties." I thought that was very appropriate for what's happening in America today. Most definitely. Okay, let's go ahead and get over here to our bill of the day. The sponsors on this is House Bill 21-1294. Representatives Byrd and Gonzalez Gutierrez and Senator Rodriguez, all Democrats. And it says, concerning an evaluation of the statewide systems used to measure the performance of elementary and secondary public education systems of the state. And basically, what it does is it directs the state auditor to contract with a public or private entity. Okay, once again, this is probably government picking winners and losers. Who's that contractor? But to conduct a performance audit of the statewide system of standards and assessments and the statewide education accountability system. The bill specifies the issues that the performance audit must address. That's very key right there. What are the issues that this audit is going to address? Because one other thing is my understanding is that they have either delayed or are not doing some of the assessment testing this year. So this is kind of curious why this is coming through. It says, by November 15, 2022, and following release by the Legislative Audit Committee, the final report of the performance audit must be submitted to the Commissioner of Education, the State Board of Education, and the Education Committees of the General Assembly. It specifies the authority of the state auditor and the contractor to assess non-financial records and information held by the Department of Education or held by public schools, school districts, boards of cooperative services, and the State Charter School Institute if the records and information are not available from the department. I think that this is possibly going to be
targeting
charter schools. And there is something in here. This is from, Chalkbeat by Erica Meltzer. And she notes that she did a piece on this. And it says, the Colorado State Board of Education, which oversees the accountability system, also wants to see changes to the bill. State Board member Rebecca McClellan said members were particularly concerned about a section that asked the auditor to examine whether the accountability system and assessments maintain institutional or cultural biases based on student or family race, ethnicity, religion, disability status, or economic position. I am so concerned about this continued definition and dividing us by what we just heard there, ethnicity, race. We all have these different things that describe us, but they do not define us. And as I'm reading this, Steve, it's been several years, but do you remember that charter school in Harlem? That it basically was in the same building as a public school, and this was a public charter school. They were in the same building, same demographics, and the charter school, the kids were performing very, very well, and in the public school, they were not. And so this whole thing on education, I'm concerned that they, instead of trying to bring all these kids up, that they're going to try to drag kids down. That's what we see happening across the spectrum here, Steve.
Well, wasn't it pretty early on when you and I first started doing this show together, a story came out regarding the graduation rate of DPS was in the 60s, the low 60s. So, you don't have to look, across the country in another state. Yeah, it's right here in our own backyard in terms of performance.
And so, see, the thing about this is instead of, so here we have this accountability. Instead, what we should be trying to figure out is how we can lift all children up, how we can get all this money that we are spending on education, how can we get that to our great teachers? And then also, Helen, there's only a certain amount of hours in the day. If we are not making sure that we're teaching our kids the basics, the critical thinking, and reading, writing, arithmetic, these basic things, and we're off over here messing around with trying to define people by race and sex education, and there's only a certain amount of hours in the day, there's only a certain amount of dollars that we have for that, and we need to make sure that we're putting that where each and every kid can succeed.
And we need to make sure that we're putting it where they can succeed at their own specific learning style. All children have different learning styles. Instead of running around with a clipboard, trying to check off and grade and measure and who's doing what. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes just a circle of status reports.
Well, and I know a number of teachers, great teachers, and it's just like going to the doctor. It's all these reports instead of actually doing the job. Instead of your doctor being able to take care of you, they have all these reports they have to do. It's same with teachers. All these different, I do think we had, I'm going to date myself, one test, I think basically a year. That was the big test. But all of this testing and all these assessments, we need to just make sure that we have great teachers in front of our kids, teaching the basic things, and as you mentioned, understanding that there's different learning styles.
Yeah, kids learn at different rates and in different ways, and that's what we need to concentrate more on that. Some children can handle the lecture series. Some people have a learning style called visual spatial learning. I think it's only 10% of the children out there have that. Mm-hmm. I'm that way. Grade school was challenging for me until I figured it out.
And then what? And don't you think a great teacher would probably use a variety of different kind of teaching methods in the class to try to address all students there? I remember one of my kids, second grade teacher. I walked into the classroom. I'm like, I'd like to go back to second grade. She was one of the most awesome teachers I'd ever seen. And she had all kinds of different, you know, visual things, and then there was reading. I mean, she had everything.
Visual, writing, talking.
The whole works.
The whole works.
Yeah, okay. So I'm very concerned about this. And Colin Larson, who is, let's see, he is a representative from Littleton. He said that he's concerned that the supporters of the audit have predetermined the outcome, and that inequities in how students are served will be mistaken for bias in the accountability system. He says, I'm concerned that we're getting angry at the doctor for telling us that we have strep throat, getting distracted by the accountability system rather than why are these scores stagnant, why are our children not able to make any progress. Best case, this is a diversion of resources and a diversion of time. I think he nailed it.
Yes, he did.
I think he did. Let's go to break. Before we do that, another great partner of mine is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And did you know that kids eat free on Saturdays? Kids eat free with a purchase of an adult entree every Saturday. And it's for dine-in only. And they have happy hour, half off some of the great appetizers and specials on different drinks. And, of course, they have these great smoked wings. They're half the calories. So go to my website, kimmunson.com, and click on the sponsors tab. And all of these different sponsors I can highly recommend. But click on the Hooters icon, and that'll bring up all of their specials for this month. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. Helen Jean Mitchell is in studio. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at issues. It's freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy. Your favorite, Steve, and it seems like there's a lot of that going on out there, is unpredictable and excessive taxation or fear. If something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. And let's go to this first headline that Patty has come up with. This is by Ben Murray, and it was at Complete Colorado. And basically, the legislature is poised to deny future tax refunds. I tell you what, I think we need to vote every one of these Democrats out, because they are just really being dishonest about kind of the social contract that we're supposed to have. They're supposed to be representing us, but instead what they're doing is trying to figure out different ways to take more and more of our money. You know, the World Economic Forum, their plan for 2030 is that we won't own anything. And one of the ways they're going to do that, Steve, is through excessive and unpredictable taxation. And you sent over a quick little video that I watched last night. And the guy's kind of a comedian, but he really nailed it, I thought. I can't remember his name. Do you remember his name?
No, I can go find that real quick. But yeah, his style is somewhat comedic. Mm-hmm. But what he's saying is right on track, and people really need to pay attention to what's happening here.
Yeah, the head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, he is really not, he is wanting to destroy the prosperity of everyday people. It is a terrible thing. But one of the ways, and we're seeing this happen right here in Colorado with this excessive taxation, it's a way of taking your hard-earned income. So in essence, what they're doing, and Ben has done a really good job on this piece, is there's basically a revenue cap under Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. And if the state takes in more income above that in a particular year, and the formula is population growth plus inflation, then anything in excess, they're supposed to return that back to the people. Well, they've been doing a number of gyrations, I would say. First of all, they've been taking money out of that calculation of what would even be included in revenue. So they've been taking out a lot of that. So that's over there. It's not even counting. And then still, when we get above that revenue cap, they're supposed to refund that money. But they're doing gyrations on that, on how they can keep it. But then two other things, what they've done, and let's see here. It says, this was on the Proposition EE, which was that cigarette tobacco tax. What they had in there, and I, you know, when I read that legislation, I missed this, and we were opposed to that new tax, but it says revenue from the new taxes in that particular, what they're collecting on that is exempt from Tabor as voter-approved revenue change. So what they're doing is putting in language that says that they don't have to ask us. And Helen, when we get to Thursday, when Patty and I are going through that transportation bill, they've done the same thing. They've put in language that says that we, the voters, don't have to approve their revenue anticipation notes. So on one hand, what they do is they want to keep the money that is due back to us without asking us. And then the other thing is they're doing gyrations to keep additional money, and then they're moving money off over that won't be included in the calculations. It's
calisthenics.
Yeah, they all need a chiropractor with all that they're doing. It's really terrible, Helen, what they're doing.
I mean, and then didn't they have something where they refer to something as a fee?
That's another thing that's in this transportation bill. And so we'll keep that as a teaser. Patty and I have been talking about it. And Patty had something that she said, it's an I told you so. And that is with the transportation bill. We passed this proposition this last election cycle that said that any fees that collected more than, I think, $100 million over 5 years, that they would have to, again, ask for our permission. So what they've done in the transportation bill is they have several different enterprise zones, which collectively it will be above $100 million, but they've carved them out so that each of them would be below that, so they don't have to ask us again. It's terrible. Tell you what, we need to vote each and every one of those Democrats out. And we need to get some great candidates to run to shed light on this. Let's see. How are we doing on one time? I wanted to mention one other thing, and that is the homelessness industrial complex. Steve, do you remember when at the then Mayor Hickenlooper was running for mayor of Denver, he said, we're going to eradicate homelessness? Well, guess what? When government gets involved, instead of eradicating it, you have all these people that are making money off of it. And there's no way that they would ever want to solve that problem because there's big money in homelessness. And we can just see this right here because Representative Diana DeGette wants to help Denver buy a hotel to house people experiencing homelessness. Is that really the proper role of the federal government, Steve? And secondly, they don't have the money. They are borrowing it from our kids. And but anyway, U.S. Representative Diana DeGette joined Mayor Michael Hancock on Thursday to announce plans to use federal money to buy the Stay Inn Hotel in Northeast Denver and use its 95 rooms to house people experiencing homelessness. She's requested $2 million as part of a federal funding request Congress members make to pay for local projects. According to a release from DeGette's office, the money is one of 10 funding requests her office made to Congress last week for her district. And then she says, every single person in this community deserves to have a roof over their head when they go to sleep at night. Projects like this will provide our residents a safety net, giving those who need it a safe place to sleep and helping them to get back on their feet as soon as possible. It's located at 12033 East 38th in the city's Central Park neighborhood. That is not the proper role of federal government to be doing that, Steve.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, I'm sorry to sound so down and out, but this just gets so tiring after a while, these approaches. I mean, let's do a deep dive here just for a second. Go back and find out from the good John Hickenlooper, well, why didn't we end homelessness? What happened, John?
Right. Well, the reason is because they put a lot of money into it. It has now become an industrial complex.
So here's, you know, what is it about CD1? But don't go there. Don't answer that. But here's, you know, she's going to pump federal money into this now. And like you just said, federal money that doesn't really exist. It's just endless. It's mindless.
Well, and think about the misery of these people. A couple of things. People do fall on hard times.
Yes.
And it used to be that churches and neighbors helped people when they fell on hard times. Now what we see, people that have fallen on hard times, they now treat them like pets. When she says that everyone deserves to have a roof over their head, I wonder, where is the earning component of this? I really think that if you receive something, you should actually offer something of value in return. And that is, you know, keep your place clean. You know, people that are asking for money on the corners of the highway, keep that place. I mean, you look and there's trash everywhere. It's like just giving people something doesn't do us any good. And so here again, taking other people's money, taking money from our kids, and buying this hotel, and I don't see anywhere here where she says you have to keep your room clean, you have to make sure that you have order in your life, those kinds of things, Steve.
Oh, well, that'll be all in the fine print to come. That will come later. But my first thought when reading it is like, well, how, you know, once someone comes to stay there, how long? Are they there for the next 2 years? Are they there for, and maybe I, you know, need to dive deeper into this, into the package here that might be defining it, but you fill up those 95 rooms, then what?
Well, and have you gone downtown and seen, just driven up and down the street where the homeless encampments are? I mean, it's filthy. And that's one of the first things about being a human being is trying to, you know, take care of your space and make sure that it has order to it. Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management, a very serious subject for a Monday morning.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I guess Monday morning would be the time for it, so you can get past it on to lighter things for the rest of the week.
I guess so. What I'm starting to see reports of inflation. People are saying that everyday things that we buy, obviously, our fuel costs are going up significantly. In fact, probably 40%. This starts to really hurt everyday people. What's your thoughts? I know that I kind of threw you for a loop last week because inflation is the toughest thing to gauge. But what are you thinking about that this morning?
Well, Kim, it's still, I think, one of the toughest things to figure out how to defend against. I'm not sure how you defend against it unless there's a way for you to acquire all of the things you would ever need right now at today's prices. You know, again, gold is thought to be a hedge for inflation for quite some time, but I don't know if that's the case. There's no currencies on the face of the planet that are backed up by gold, silver, or any other type of hard asset. That would make it impossible for governments to just print money any way they wanted to. So, you know, I find it hard to believe we're going back to the gold standard anytime soon. I know some folks have looked at cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and others, as ways to hedge against it, and that's a possibility, but that's an area that's very, very volatile in price. And a little bit frightening, I think, to the average person. So, Kim, that's one I'm just being as honest as I possibly can. I don't know exactly what is the best solution to deal with inflation. You know, stock prices oftentimes will, you know, be part of that inflation, but there's risk and volatility there, too. So, boy, I am not, the shell answer man on this one, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Well, and that's why I think a diversified portfolio with each person assessing their own personal risk tolerance, because every person is different on that, is a place to go. But I have an idea for you, Jason. As you were speaking, I just thought of it. As we're looking at all of these different tax increases, we see them at the local level, we see them with the metro districts, we see this with the Harris-Biden administration. That would be a place that we could start to work on inflation, is not having our taxes inflate. How about that? I think we should just start to say no.
Yeah, that would be very nice. And Kim, I hope we're able to do that. I heard you saying we need to vote all of these people out, and part of me wonders if we didn't actually already vote them all out and we just weren't told so.
Oops. They're trying to figure that out for sure, Jason McBride. I would suggest people reach out to you, and I know you're doing these annuity checkups, which I know that's been really helpful. How can people reach you to do that?
Best way, Kim, is just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. And don't forget, those are no obligation, no high pressure, no charge. It's a courtesy that we do to help people understand what they actually own and what they have. And you know what? If it leads to you doing some business with us, that's great. If not, hopefully we made a friend, and maybe later down the road it'll lead to you doing some business with us.
And again, Jason, what's that phone number?
Once more, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim.
We'll be right back with Helen Jean Mitchell.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And be watching. We are going to send out an extra email this week once we have everything set for the ticket purchase for our great event, Candid COVID Conversations. It's May 20th, 6 to 8 p.m. And it's not just a Zoom meeting. It is going to be, I think, very, very, very cool. Great panel. It's going to be Councilwoman Ramey Johnson from Lakewood, Dr. Jill Vecchio, Matt Durkin, Priscilla Ron, and Sue Kinfield. So stay tuned for that. In studio with me is my friend. She is a patriot and also a sponsor partner of the show, and that's Helen Jean Mitchell. Helen, I so appreciate your partnership.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to do it. We need to keep the airways open and communicating with each other.
Absolutely. And this month, I thought we decided that the subject that we were talking about on Friday with Dr. Brian Dmitrovic is something that is near and dear to your heart, and that is the economic policies of our country, taxation, spending. And so where do you want to start, Helen?
Well, I'd like to start speaking about Dr. Arthur Laffer. When I heard about, we were going to discuss that on the show, I remembered back, we gray hairs remember our parents going to the bank and opening up a certificate of deposit, coming home with shiny new iron, blenders, curling irons, and watches.
You know what? I worked at a bank during that time,
yes.
And I remember that, yeah.
And they even gave out little banks, and Morgan dollar coins for the children, influence to shape their financial future. And that's pretty much where I got started, too, when I was about seven. So I was thinking about Dr. R. Laffer and his five pillars of prosperity. And gave me that he spoke about at a recent conference, and I thought back to some pivotal points in my background. His first pillar was the lower the taxes, the better. Or I'd like to refer to it as the beatings will get worse for success.
You know, and Helen, that is one thing that I found really interesting is the progressive tax system that we have here in America. And actually, back in 1913 was the 16th Amendment was where Congress then that they put in the income tax. And it's like, so you start to tax people's the fact they take risk and they work hard and they're a success. And that just seems so antithetical to the American idea. But now we've had this for over 100 years.
Well, I first got exposed to it as a teenager when, you know, my father was a petroleum engineer and he'd gone to Dubai.
Okay.
And Dubai did not look like then what it looks like now. It's just all sand. I remember landing at the airport with my parents at 11:30 at night. It was 98 degrees. And we went out to the hotel. We stayed in a hotel type configuration, and they apparently turn off the electricity at night. So we got to go up 8 flights of stairs with our suitcases in the dark, lighting a match for every flight we went up.
And 98 degrees.
98 degrees.
Ooh.
It was fun though. So, you know, and after we got back, my father went through was doing his taxes, and he was in the basement, you know, known as a man cave. And it was, you know, tax time. So it was a stressful diet of bread and water at the house. And Dad, I remember him coming up the stairs and he emerged from the basement and ordered me to follow him and said, Helen, I want you to see this and I don't want you to ever forget it. You remember this when you go to the election. And I was like, you know, teens, early teens.
I had the same kind of thing. My dad did the same thing.
And he says, look what I have to pay. I have to pay 70%. That means as my income increases, I have to pay 70% marginal tax rate, known as a progressive tax.
Mm-hmm.
Poof.
I know.
Out the door.
So over, and for those of you out there that may not understand that, so over a certain amount, then the government would take 70 cents of every dollar that you earn.
So it's, you
know, theft.
A way to punish success.
Yes.
You know, why do that? Let's all just go down to the lowest common denominator and call it good. Now, his second pillar, Dr. Laffer, was stop excess spending. So,
you know, I wanted to back up.
Yeah.
Trump, that is one of the things that he did, is he lowered taxes. And that actually, we were having some great economic growth. The excess spending is difficult for Congress and the president to get under control. And Trump spent money as well. But man, with what's going on right now in Washington, it's beyond belief.
Yeah, I think a lot of people may think that, you know, the government gives you something, then they have to take it away from somebody else. Like it's a zero-sum game.
Uh-huh.
I don't particularly subscribe to that thinking. I believe that to sustain, you know, anybody's lifestyle, you need to figure out how to get it, which means you either produce it or you buy it.
Or they steal it via taxation.
That's true. That's if you want to take somebody else's because it's, you know, the world hasn't been fair or something. So I remember, you know, my father saying, okay, you get an allowance of a quarter a week. You need to start buying your Barbie doll clothes. And so those were $1.25.
Okay.
You know, so I saved my money in my jar, you know, and I went down to the store, picked out the nicest one, you know, and I got my Barbie doll clothes. And that was basically the first exposure I had to, you know, collecting wealth, getting what I want.
And that was saving and earning.
Saving and earning.
Because you had to work for your allowance, too, yes?
Oh, dusting, feeding the dog, walking the dog, taking out the trash. Those were my major accomplishments, what I had to do for my money. But, you know, then I started thinking, you know, what else can I do? Can I do extra and get a bonus?
You little entrepreneur, you.
But I think what people have to realize is if you're going to rely on the government to give you something, Well, you know, they could also take that away or decide not to give it to you.
Right.
And then what are you going to do?
Right. And I think we may see a lot of this happening with this unemployment that people are getting. That's not forever. And people are sitting home collecting unemployment and not creating anything, not earning anything. There's something not quite right about that.
Right. And I can understand, you know, this is maybe where we have a little variety of opinion here where, you know, during the first two stints of the unemployment or the stimulus checks or whatever, but now this just keeps going on.
It can't go on.
Yeah, it can't go on. It dampens people's spirits. They sit at home. Just for me, sitting at home during the pandemic, you know, it's depressing. You know, I don't know about you. I've known two people who've committed suicide.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
Oh.
That's no good for anybody.
No. No. And just sitting home and living off of somebody else's, the fruits of somebody else's labor is not living. It's just existing.
Right.
And we want to live.
And there's no pride in that. You know, people want to develop themselves. They want to grow themselves and claim something as their own and enrich themselves and take advantage of opportunities and go different directions. And if you're sitting at home being told by the government, we're going to give you this, and isn't that great?
And one other thing, Helen, and the government saying that we're going to give this to you because you're a victim, and that does no good for anybody either. So,
right. So, you know, for example, I went down to the, I live in Parker, and I was cruising my neighborhood the other day. You know, I got out a little bit with my mask on. I wear a mask because of allergies. That's the thing
it
I've discovered.
Be a it's choice.
Great.
Yeah.
It's great for
it's
my
choice.
Allergies. Nobody wants a, you know, a sneezing fit. You don't want to see that.
Not in public these days.
No, no. So I was cruising my neighborhood, and I was ecstatic to see all the people out there, my neighbors out there resuming their projects, buying lumber, as if they could find it, and just out there, you know, resuming. It was as if the clock had stopped, and now the clock started up again.
Nice.
Okay. You know, and everybody was smiling, and I think they even had a few little open markets, you know, where people were selling vegetables and whatnot. It was like, oh, we're getting back to it. Okay, this is great.
We shouldn't take it for granted anymore. You know, these are truly blessings. I think we should realize that. So, and that kind of segues into your next pillar, and that's good monetary policy. So let's talk just a little bit about that. You'd mentioned that.
Yes. So the Biden administration has decided that, you know, that this could also lead to less inequality. So it's been a government thing that they've wanted to do for a long time. They've wanted to fix the economy that could lead to a less wealth unequal future. You know, so now they're getting in the business instead of letting the free market do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting into the business of, oh, we're going to solve this because this is our chance. This has been a big societal issue for dozens, scores of years. So we want to get into that. I just don't think that's where government needs to be.
Well, and somebody said, Helen, if you came in and you get, well, let's say that there's a family. Let's say there's six kids. You gave each of the kids $100. By the end of the next day, one might invest it and created more. One might have spent it. But within 24 hours, their $100 is going to be unequal because they've made different choices with that.
Yeah,
and it's just they need to be responsible for those choices.
The freedom of choice and the freedom of their decisions. I, of course, would have stashed it.
So continue on here.
So I think that was pillar number two.
That was pillar. Well, we talked about
pillar three.
Yeah, and let's just make sure we go through pillar number one was lower. The lower the taxes, the better. Pillar number two is to stop excess spending, and pillar number three is good monetary policy.
That's the one we just finished.
Yeah,
and then pillar number four here is.
You know what? Let's keep that as a cliffhanger. Let's
okay.
go to break, and we'll come back. Helen Jean Mitchell is in studio, and we're going through the five pillars of economic prosperity. by Arthur Laffer, and of course Brian Dmitrovic, who's with the Laffer Center, was on last Friday, and you can get that show probably in an hour or so on my website, kimmunson.com. Before we go to break, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of mine. And Castlegate Knife and Tool is located in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business. They have the largest collection of knives, probably west of the Mississippi. And check out their website, castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. Hal Van Herke and Linnea Van Herke, they are entrepreneurs. They have these great knives, whether or not you're a collector, a chef, a sportsman. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. But also, they're expanding their merchandise into some custom-made rifles, as well as these great watches. And so check out castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Helen Jean Mitchell.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to kimmunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And then stay tuned. We are going to do a Kim Munson Salon Series, a candid COVID conversation. It'll be an online event, and that will be May 20th, 6 to 8 p.m. Ticket sales will start, we think, on Wednesday. Ticket sales are $5 plus a $1 processing fee. And it's going to be great. We're going to really delve into this particular subject. In studio with me is my friend. She is a patriot. She is a sponsor partner of the show, Helen Jean Mitchell. And Arthur Laffer is one of your heroes, I would say, along with John Locke.
Yes, of course.
and I think it's very appropriate to be going through how these policies, how you learned about them, and why you think they are important. Arthur Laffer says there's five pillars to the economic prosperity of America. And the first one we talked about was the lower the taxes, the better. Second, stop excess spending. Third is good monetary policy. So what is number four, Helen?
Number four is less federal regulation. Now, this is a unique time in our country where, you know, a lot of people there's a lot of factors bombarding them, and they have fear. And so a lot of times when you have fear, people want to invite regulation to help maybe control and get things under control so they have predictability in their life, right? And unfortunately, that could lead to, you know, an overzealous yearning for regulation. Excessive regulation leads to less personal freedom. It stifles creativity. Entrepreneurship gets minimized. And innovation, there just basically isn't any. So I think we need to realize that as a country, you know, the United States of America, we have entrepreneurs. And it's due to people who pursued their own ideas, and they incurred risk, and they lived up to their responsibilities that was the root of this country flourishing. And I remember my mother saying, that's unique in the United States. Mm-hmm. We're afforded that opportunity.
Well, and Helen, your family story and your story really is one of overcoming obstacles to become successes. And that's the American story. That's the American idea.
Well, yes. You know, and I used to, you know, as a teenager, you know, you got all things, crazy things going on. And, I used to run around and say, you know, why me? You know, this isn't fair. You know, and some of my dad-isms were, you know, my mother would say, well, why not you? Oh man, okay. or my father would say, well, you're either going to do it my way or, you know, your clothes will be on the front porch. You know? And, you know, he was serious.
Yeah. You know? And you have a great comment about fair. When we say life isn't fair, but somebody said to me, the only fair is the county fair and the state fair.
Yeah, my mother would say, fair is just another word for a circus.
There you go. Okay. But the other thing is with regulation, there's these bureaucracies. And these bureaucrats are not elected by us. And it has actually become almost a fourth branch of government. So when Donald Trump was inaugurated into office, he said that for every new regulation, we had to get rid of, I think he said at least two, but they got rid of more. And once again, it freed up our economy, Helen.
Yes, and I think Dr. Dmitrovic spoke at the Wildlife Center several times when he was a visiting professor at University of Colorado about regulations and how it stifled the economy.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke specific about that.
Okay, let's go to number five.
Number five. So, free trade. So just the other night, I heard President Biden say, I'm not going to enter any new trade agreement with anybody until we have major investments here at home and in our workers. Well, this is the same Biden who in November of 93 voted on the passage of the bill to implement the NAFTA agreement, the North American Free Trade Agreement. That resulted in companies being able to relocate overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Our workers were... I remember working at a company and the whole side of the building was gone.
You know, NAFTA?
Right. I mean, they come in and just lay people off and replace them with contractors. So it put everybody, you know, we were competing with the global market. And, you know, people couldn't do that.
Well, and the other thing on that, Helen, is here in America, we are making labor more and more expensive. For things just here in Colorado, things happening down at the State House, it's making it more and more difficult for small businesses to hire people. And when you make labor so expensive, then mm-hmm. and then you do this trade agreement, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going to happen.
Right. So what companies got tax breaks, remember, for relocating the production elsewhere. And then, it just basically destroyed the middle class. I mean, I remember losing my job. And all of us were out there trying to find work and not quite understanding what the source of this was. So it seems that President Biden is saying one thing, but his history is not reflective.
And that is what we see happening on a consistent basis, is they say what they know that people want to hear, and then they do something different.
And then they do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people ought to go back to November of 93 and look what happened.
Well, and one other thing, I wanted to just make a clarification because I had always thought free trade, that is so. But when Trump came in, he said free and fair trade.
Free and fair trade.
Fair trade is really important. So we have just a couple of minutes left. Helen, what's kind of how do you want to wrap this up? Final thoughts.
Well, I think a lot of people. Really, the service industry especially suffered through all this. The carnage of the coronavirus impacted the food industry, and other direct public interaction workers who it just hurled them out of their jobs and decimated their what really is more important, their potential toward building wealth. And I think initially something needed to be done, but at this point, I think people are. You know, I think people are just tired of staying home. I mean, from what I saw out there.
Yeah, and I think people, we want hustling. People to get back to work. And so I will give you, I love that you said earlier, Kim, we may have a variety of opinion on that. I love the way that you said that. But, okay, so there was the stimulus that went in to help people on the short-term basis. But now we need to get people back to work and not pay people for not working, right?
Yes, we need, you know, they need to get out there. They've had the transition time, you know, to get them over a certain hump. And I think people are just itching to get out there. And they're wondering, I think they're afraid. They may be afraid. They may not have childcare available, you know. So these are all different reasons for why people may be hesitating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, people who want to hustle, and that's the American spirit. That's the American way. Get out there and we'll do it.
We will, and we must lower taxes. So once again, Helen, let's go through these five pillars. We've got them. Now I have papers everywhere. Here, pillar number one, lower the taxes, the better. Number two, stop excess spending. Number three, good monetary policy. Number four, less federal regulation. And number five would be free and fair trade. Helen Mitchell, it's been really fun. It goes so quickly, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
So really appreciate you being in studio here. And let's see. I just wanted to make sure I have the clock right here. Our quote for today is from one of your favorite guys, and that is John Locke. And he says, government has no other end but the preservation of property. And when we see government taking more and more of people's property via taxation and regulation, that is totally antithetical to the American idea. Helen Jean Mitchell, your family is the quintessential American family. You've overcome obstacles to become a success. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you very much. And thanks to my father.
Thank you. Yes, thanks to our dads,
yes.
That's for sure. My friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't